Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Speak, O Lord, and give us ears to hear. Amen. Do you take a seat? And we are thinking about gifts. Paul has been 11 chapters looking at some amazing, some fearful, some wonderful, some challenging doctrine. And he turns in the 12th chapter to how that and what that means and what does that look like in our life. And we looked a few weeks ago at the first three verses, how our attitude should God should be one of giving our all in worship and service to him. And we're going to think about gifts. I want you to start that right now. We haven't got long, so I'm going to give you 20 seconds each to turn to the person next to you and tell them what gifts you've got. There's no time to think about it. Okay, the things, first things that you know come into your head, and they're things that you may have had since you were born, that you feel that God has given you at birth, or it may be that when you became a Christian, he gave you a special gift to use to build others up. So you've got 20 seconds to talk to one person. I'm going to call 20 seconds, and we'll swap round. Go. Okay, we'll swap round. Just a couple. And bring your conversations to a close. Sounded like you had lots to talk about, which is great. But you may have felt slightly awkward as well. I don't know, maybe you were speaking to somebody and you had to say, well, I speak 8 different world languages. I've got a real knack with understanding complex mechanics and I enjoy sparring with the main leaders of atheism in my own time. And you kind of think, well, am I drawing attention to myself? Or you may have been thinking, oh, I enjoy drinking coffee with other people. I can't think of anything else at all. And feel really embarrassed. But I just want to say that both mindsets are wrong when it comes to thinking about our gifts. And I want us to think slightly different using Paul's help here in Romans 12. It's page 158 of the New Testament, if you've lost it. We're starting with verse 6. Look down at verse 6, page 158 with me. It says, we have gifts. We're going to start there. We have gifts. God has given to this church people with gifts. We could put that also slightly differently. He has given the people in this church gifts. Looking at that ministry sheet, isn't it amazing? The only way that those ministries can be maintained, started, developed, is by God's gracious gifts to people. I was here on Friday morning, and I walked into the church, and obviously all this sort of thinking was in my head, and I just thought, what a great place to be. There was like 8 people working on flower decorations, everyone beaving around. There were people serving coffee in the coffee bar. There was Tess administering and organising things in the office. And then behind closed doors, there would have been people preparing services maybe or studying the word. But what a wonderful place where people are using their gifts. And Paul presents to us some gifts in this passage. It's not an exhaustive list, because other gifts are included in his writing elsewhere. But let's have a quick look at these. Firstly, look down in 6, it starts with prophecy, which is just speaking the words of God under divine inspiration. Certainly applied to the apostles in their writing of scripture. But also, we might think of that in preaching. If our preaching should be prophetic, because we want to be hearing, not from the preacher, but from God. There's ministry. That's really serving. In the Jerusalem church, that was ministry of the word, but also ministry of the tables. If you remember in Acts 5 or 6, some people were chosen to minister on the tables and to distribute the food. An exhorter. an exhorter, somebody who really is an encourager or a counselor, somebody who draws alongside and sort of provides a launch pad for you. Has anybody ever drawn alongside you in church and got you in conversation and suddenly you find you're leading a ministry? Does that remind you of anybody? No. That's the exhorter. Carry on in the list. The giver. This might be the giver of finance, time, advice, skills. There's a leader, leadership there. There's the compassionate, those who are caring for those in need and for those who are distressed, drawing alongside with kind words and practical help, lifting up those who have been have fallen down and are feeling beaten by the word, the world, the gift of compassion. It's a great list of gifts, isn't it? But we know it's not exhaustive. And also, the main point, if you look, is not in necessarily the list in itself. Have a look in verse 6. It says, we've been given gifts, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver, etc. What really Paul is saying is it's not the gifts that he wants to tell us about. He doesn't explain them at all. What he wants us to do is to use the gifts that we've been given. Many translations actually include words that aren't in the Greek, but we have been given gifts. Let us use them. And that is the key of what Paul is saying. And some of the ways in which we should use them is shown here as well. Diligence, generosity, cheerfulness. Did you see that one? The compassionate gift, but I'm sure that all these attributes apply to all of the gifts, to be done with cheerfulness. Did you know, I'm sure you do, that very famous psalm, God spoke through David and said, serve the Lord with a high sense of moral duty. He didn't say that, did he? He said, serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. When we have our gifts, I just want you to remember this. You've been given gifts. Serve the Lord and each other with gladness. You know, sometimes we give each other gifts. On the first day of school, I gave my son a few weeks ago a gift. It was this. He absolutely loves it. It fits in his pocket. It's a car. It goes really fast. And it changes into a weapon of mass destruction, which is just, for a little boy, it's just wonderful. He wants to subdue the world and have dominion over it. That's a godly thing. I just need to channel it in the right direction. But he had this gift, and it was on the table. It was wrapped up. He took out off the wrapping paper, and it was in a box. What did he say to me? Can you take it out of the box? And sometimes I think God wants to say to us, you've been given a gift. Take it out of the box and use it. That's our first point. God has given us gifts. Let's use them and use them gladly. Let's go back to verse 6. We have gifts that differ. We have different gifts. And when you look down that list, you can see all the different gifts that we're going to need to keep these ministries going. You can see the variety of gifts that Paul has given us. Why have we got different gifts? Well, Paul tells us in the previous verses, for as in one body, this is verse 4, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. We've been given different gifts because we have different parts to play in the church. That the church might be built up, that together we might glorify Christ and show him to the world. It's that amazing picture that Paul often uses of the body, isn't it? And I was thinking about this. Two parts of the body that might help you to think about this. I'm going to start with the foot. Think about the foot for a while. It's a bedrock. It helps us stand. It gets us places. But it's not very precise, is it? It's not like the hands. It's not very nimble. It's very useful, though, when you want to get somewhere or simply stand up. You think the foot might like to think of, say, the nose. He might say, well, what do? You just sniff things all day, and sometimes you get glasses propped on you. And when we've got a cold, the body, I have to go and get tissues for you all the time. you're absolutely useless. What are you doing? And the nose might say, well, maybe, but what about I can detect all sorts of things that would have us in bed for a week if Mr. Mouth decided to eat them? Or what about if there's a fire? I'm the one that tells you to run. And best of all, what about the roses? What about the roses, says Mr. Foot? They're a waste of time. They don't get us where we want to go. Ah, but when I make you stop and smell them, what a glorious scent. And Mr. Mouth has a bit of a smile on him, and the journey is so much more fun. And maybe the foot says, with profound articulation, humph. It's a silly picture, I know, forgive me, but it really spoke to me. Some of us have gifts that provide a real bedrock for this church that we can build on. Others have gifts that allow those truths that we hear to sort of sink in, give us time to allow God to change us and make those truths a concrete reality in our lives. Some of us have both those kind of gifts. I want you just to have a look around at each other now. Go on, have a good look. Good look. Right to the back. And I want to tell you that this picture that Paul gives us should encourage us. We are put together right now in Crowborough at this time in history to serve alongside each other, to grow in love for him, to grow in love for the world, and to display him to each other and to those outside. We're given different gifts to bless the whole church. Let's value the different gifts we have been given. And lastly, have a look down in verse 6 again. We have been given gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let me just remind you, these gifts are gifts that have been given to us. And a lot of our hang-ups, I think, might be solved if we believe that these gifts have been given to us. We haven't earned them. Yes, there is a responsibility to use them, to develop them, to maintain them, to pass some of our knowledge and our understanding on. But the gifting is not about us, it's about God. The Message puts it this way, verse 3 actually in this passage. It says, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. And that's in fact what Paul is doing right the way through here. There's a really important verse I want to take you to, of just phrase, right at the beginning of this, the reading we had in chapter 12. You have to flip over the page. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That phrase, by the mercies of God, could be seen as a linchpin in Romans. You've had 11 chapters describing the awesome nature of the mercies of God that have been shown to us in Christ Jesus. And in view of that, we then serve. And we use those gifts that are given to us by the mercy of God. It's not about me, it's about God. And I just want to suggest two really, really quick points that might help us think. Two wrong paths, I think, that sometimes we might find ourselves on when we think about our gifts. Firstly, we fail sometimes to recognize the gifts we have and try to use gifts we don't have. God, in his grace and his infinite wisdom, has given you the gifts you have for his reasons and for his glory. That can help us when we feel envious about other people's gifts. God has chosen you for those gifts, for his reasons and for his glory. All he wants us to do is to use them and enjoy them. Can it really be an enjoyment to use a gift of God? Well, it can, even when you think some of the hard ones. Think about leadership. Is that easy? No, if anyone has led. If you really want an answer to that question, ask Andrew afterwards. But God supplies the gift so that though we do have a burden, the burden, Christ says, is easy. The burden is easy and the yoke is light. I want just to very, very quickly show you that from one example of the gift of suffering. It's not a very nice gift to have, is it really? But the Apostle Paul is one who had that gift in abundance. And this is what he said. This is a Christian who suffered probably more than most. He said, "Our sufferings are slight and momentary." That's a profound thing to say, isn't it? Nobody would say that to suffer in the suffering way that Paul does, or suffer maybe the way that North Koreans suffer, is light, slight and momentary. But that's what Paul said, because he'd been given the gift of suffering. In a sense, the gift to cope with suffering is what I'm saying. And when we see that, we marvel not at Paul, but at the God who supplies that gift. And when we look and we share in a time of real celebration and commissioning, we must not look at each other and marvel. We must look to God and marvel at the gift giver, the graceful gift giver. So rather than being envious or reticent to use our gifts, let's be glad for them. Let's be humble and recognize our gifts. And when we stand today, I want us to think of two things. Firstly, when we stand, we don't draw attention to ourselves. We draw attention to God. And then we say two other things. We say something that we all know we need: help. Even the most gifted academic student sometimes has to say to the teacher, "Can you help?" And another thing I want us to say, something that hopefully your parents taught you to say when you received a gift as a child, and that is, "Thank you." Let's pray.